inspection.
So while these qualities for the other practitioners, they have to practice and cultivate, try to cultivate. But for devotees, they develop it by practicing devotional service. Atmavit Charana Archanam. And one should worship the lotus feet of those who know the Lord. So even Ashtanga Yogis are supposed to worship devotees. Those who know the Lord. Like that. Srila Prabhupada here comments. I will read some sections. Swadharma Acharanam means that one must discharge the prescribed duties of his particular division of society faithfully and to the best of his ability. One should not accept another's duty. If one is born in a particular society or community, he should perform the prescribed duties for that particular division. If, however, one is fortunate enough to transcend the designation of birth in a particular society or community by being elevated to the standard of spiritual identity, then his swadharma or duty is solely that of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is quite clear here. So the till one comes to the stage of devotional service, then swadharma is needed. One should shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharmo sunashtitat swadharme hinidanam shreya paradharma bayavaha. So one should perfectly practice one's varnashram duties. But once one has come to the stage of practicing devotional service, then one's duties change. He is obligated to perform devotional service. Nothing else. Not that he does not feel obligated for other Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, etc. But he tries to fulfill those obligations by watering the root. Is it clear? So, just by watering the root, the leaves, flowers, fruits, everything they get there, nourishment. You don't have to individually water them. But in some cases, you may say that, no, root has to be watered, but the leaves out also have to be watered. Otherwise, you know, they will have a deposit of dust and it will reduce the efficiency of photosynthesis. Because the plant gets nourishment not just through the roots but through the leaves also. But in the material world, urdhvamoolam adashakam ashvatam prahuravyayam. The root is up, so when you water the root, automatically the leaves will also get, all the water, nutrition. So one need not worry that you have to individually water the leaves. So having said that, it's not that one should not feel obligated. A devotee is the most grateful person. For whatever little help he gets in his coming closer to Krishna, he actually wants to express his gratitude. But here, that verse actually talks about how to fulfill that obligation. That verse is to indicate to the devotee, yes, I know that you want to express your gratitude to everyone. The easiest way to express your gratitude to everyone is by watering the root. So that verse does not say that a devotee should not feel obligated. He naturally feels obligated and he fulfills that obligation by sincerely practicing devotional service. So like that. Now Prabhupada here is clarifying that yes, one has to perform one's varnashram swadharma, but still one comes to the stage of devotional service. When one comes to the stage of devotional service, his swadharma changes. Like that. Okay.
Swadharma changes to bodily consciousness.
But duties. His value system has changed.
Swadharma doesn't mean change of body.
Not in that when, not in that sense. His swadharma has become devotional service now. Like that. His faith has changed. His value system has changed now. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kahe sudrida nischay. So when one has come to that stage, his swadharma has changed. Then he is expected to perform devotional service only. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Activities, are they Brahminical? Not necessarily. Sometimes if Hari Gaurang Prabhu takes some talwar or something to, you know, protect Gokul Dham, isn't that within the realm of Krishna consciousness? There is. But Prabhupada did say that this Krishna consciousness movement is to, we want to create a set of Brahmanas. In the sense that just like in a regular Varnashram system, the Brahmanas guide the other Varnas. Similarly, we want the devotees to be the head of the society in that sense. But the Varnashram is within the four Gunas. But the activities of devotional service are not within the four Gunas. Sorry, three Gunas, four Ashramas, sorry, four Varnas. Like that. Okay, let's move on. Gramya dharma nivrittischa moksha dharma ratistata mitamedyadanam shashvat vivikta kshema sevanam. Gramya dharma nivrittischa. One should avoid duties that lead to material attachment. Look, gramya kata. Like that. Moksha dharma ratistata. And one should be absorbed in those which lead to liberation. Mita medya adanam. One should eat pure food in moderate quantities. And shashvat vivikta kshema sevanam. And always live in a secluded, peaceful place. These are all, of course, for Ashtanga yogis. Vivikta desha sevitvam aratirjana samsadi. Like that. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, it is recommended herein that the religious practice for economic development or the satisfaction of sense desire should be avoided. What is Prabhupada talking about? Gramya dharma nivrittischa. Religious practices should be executed only to gain freedom from the clutches of material nature. It is stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that the topmost religious practice is that by which one can attain to the transcendental devotional service of the Lord without reason or cause. What is Prabhupada talking about? Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dokshaje. Such religious practice is never hampered by any impediments, and by its performance one actually becomes satisfied. Ahaitukya prajeta, yayatma supraje, both. Here this is recommended as moksha dharma, religious practice for salvation or transcendence of the clutches of the clutches of material contamination. Next Prabhupada says, the next important phrase is mita medya adanam, which means that one should eat very frugally. It is recommended in the Vedic literatures that a yogi eats only half of what he desires according to his hunger. If one is so hungry that he could devour 1 pound of foodstuff, 1 pound is about half a kilogram, then instead of eating 1 pound, he should consume only half a pound and supplement this with 4 ounces of water. Prabhupada's British education, ounces and pounds. With 4 ounces of water, 1/4 of the stomach should be left empty for the passage of air in the stomach. If one eats in this manner, he will avoid indigestion and disease. Okay. So we are discussing the Yama and Niyama of Ashtanga Yoga. Ahimsa satyam asteyam yavadartha parigraha బ్రహ్మచర్యం తపశౌచం స్వాధ్యాయ పురుషార్చనం అహింస సత్యం అస్తేయం వన్ షుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ నాన్ వైలెన్స్ ట్రూత్ఫుల్నెస్ అండ్ అవాయిడ్ థెఫ్ట్ యావద్ అర్థ పరిగ్రహ వన్ షుడ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఓన్లీ వాట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ బ్రహ్మచర్యం తపశౌచం అండ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ సెలిబసీ ఆస్టరిటీ అండ్ క్లెన్లీనెస్ స్వాధ్యాయ పురుష అర్చనం అండ్ వన్ షుడ్ స్టడీ ద వేదాస్ అండ్ వర్షిప్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ పురుష అర్చనం ఇస్ ఆల్సో పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అష్టాంగ యోగ సో హియర్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద రైట్స్ దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ యోగా ప్రాక్టీస్ వన్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ మస్ట్ కాన్సన్ట్రేట్ ఇస్ మైండ్ ఆన్ ద పర్సన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ బట్ మస్ట్ ఆల్సో వర్షిప్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ డీటీ ఆర్ కృష్ణ డైలీ వాట్ ఈస్ ప్రభుపాద్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ పురుష అర్చనం దెన్ హీ సేస్ బ్రహ్మచారి ప్రాక్టీస్ ఎస్ సెలిబసీ కంట్రోలింగ్ ఎస్ సెక్స్ లైఫ్ వన్ కెనాట్ ఎంజాయ్ అన్రెస్ట్రిక్టెడ్ సెక్స్ లైఫ్ అండ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ యోగా దిస్ ఇస్ రాస్కల్డమ్ సో కాల్డ్ యోగీస్ అడ్వర్టైజ్ దట్ వన్ క్యాన్ గో ఆన్ ఎంజాయింగ్ యాజ్ వన్ లైక్స్ అండ్ సైమల్టేనియస్లీ బికమ్ అ యోగి బట్ దిస్ ఇస్ టోటలీ అన్ఆథరైజ్డ్ లేటర్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ ద వర్డ్ అస్తేయం ఇస్ ఆల్సో వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ అ యోగి అస్తేయం మీన్స్ టు రిఫ్రెయిన్ ఫ్రమ్ థెఫ్ట్ వేర్ ఎల్స్ ఇస్ థెఫ్ట్ ఇండికేటెడ్ కెన్ యూ రికలెక్ట్ సంథింగ్ ఈశావాస్యం ఇదం సర్వం ఎత్కించ జగత్యాం జగత్తేన త్యక్తేన భుంజిత మాగృధ కస్య స్విద్దనం దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ ఎనీవేర్ ఎల్స్ యూ రిమెంబర్ వాట్ ఇస్ దట్ వర్స్ భుంజతే తే త్వగం పాప ఏ పచంతి ఆత్మకారణాత్ యా వాట్ ఇస్ దట్ ఐ ఫర్గాట్ ఇష్టాన్ భోగాన్ హి ఓ దేవ దాస్యంతే యజ్ఞ భావిత తైర్దత్తాన్ అప్రదాయేభ్యస్ యో భుంక్తే స్థేనేవ సహ లైక్ దట్ యా ఇన్ ది బ్రాడర్ సెన్స్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ హూ అక్యుములేట్స్ మోర్ దెన్ హీ నీడ్స్ ఇస్ అ థీఫ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు స్పిరిచువల్ కమ్యూనిజం వన్ కెనాట్ పొసెస్ మోర్ దెన్ హీ నీడ్స్ ఫర్ హిస్ పర్సనల్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ లేటర్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ అబౌట్ స్వాధ్యాయ స్వాధ్యాయ మీన్స్ రీడింగ్ ది ఆథరైజ్డ్ వేదిక్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. So whatever is one's level, accordingly one should read the literatures, whatever one is qualified for. So, I mean this becomes more and more specific that in our Krishna consciousness, we should again stick to the literatures that come in our parampara. If we have a specific goal in mind, if the goal in mind is to become an associate of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and serve him there, then we have to stick to, you know, the literatures that our పరంపరా ఆచార్యస్ హవ్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ అండ్ నాట్ ట్రై టు డివియేట్ హియర్ అండ్ దేర్ టు ది ఎక్స్టెంట్ దట్ శ్రీల రఘునాథ్ దాస్ గోస్వామి ఇన్ హిస్ బుక్ మనశిక్ష యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్స్ నాట్ అ బుక్ ఇట్స్ జస్ట్ 12 వర్సెస్ విచ్ హెస్ బీన్ వెరీ ఎక్స్టెన్సివ్లీ కమెంటెడ్ అపాన్ బై మెనీ ఆచార్యస్ ఇన్ ద వెరీ సెకండ్ వర్స్ హీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ the obstacles that can stop one from achieving the goal. He's talking about duplicity, anger, lust, and so on. And along with these obstacles, he says, attachment to worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. He says. So in the sense, he doesn't say worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan is an obstacle, but attachment to worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan is an obstacle. అండ్ భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ కమెంటింగ్ ఆన్ దిస్ మనశిక్ష దిస్ భజన దర్పణ్ కమెంటరీ హీ సేస్ దట్ రఘునాథ్ దాస్ గోస్వామి ఈస్ అడ్రస్సింగ్ అ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పాయింట్ హియర్ ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్లీ ఎవిడెంట్ బట్ హీ సేస్ వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పాయింట్ భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ ఇస్ అడ్రస్సింగ్ హీ సేస్ ఈస్ ఇట్ పాసిబుల్ టు అటైన్ లవ్ ఫర్ రాధా అండ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ ఎనీ అదర్ సంప్రదాయ అదర్ దెన్ గౌడీయ వైష్ణవ సంప్రదాయ దట్ ఈస్ ద పాయింట్ హీ ఈస్ రేజింగ్ హియర్ అండ్ భక్తి త్రూ దట్ పాయింట్ భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ మెన్షన్స్ సో భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ సేస్ నో ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ బట్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ రేర్ హీ సేస్ సో therefore we have to choose our association because what association we take that kind of that association should nourish our prayojan it should take us closer to our prayojan it should increase our desire to attain our prayojan So it cannot distract us in other direction. So therefore, even though there may be other bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas, we cannot allow them to dictate our day-to-day activities. Our parampara should be our pramana. The pramana cannot be some other sampradaya because some other sampradayas they have a different dhyaya they have a different goal but we have a slightly different goal so therefore we have to stick very strictly to our what the procedures that our acharyas have given in order to achieve our goal so Prabhupada here writes Yeah.
He said,
love for Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. It is not possible to attain it through any other parampara other than Gaudiya parampara. And elsewhere he says, another point he mentions is,
Kumar Sampradaya and Nimbarakachara Sampradaya, as if there are two principles for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, they, but that is to a large extent in Vatsalya Bhav. So, but the kind of, they may not necessarily accept that the highest form of worship is Ramya ka chitupasana vrajavadu vargenaya kalpita. That they may not accept. So therefore, there is unity in certain aspects in the Dashamoola Tattva, the 10 principal conclusions of the scriptures. But then when you go into Rasa, there is diversity and diversity. There is no unity there. To the extent that Raghunath Das Goswami would refuse to drink from the drone which was prepared in Chandravali's village. How can someone be more narrow-minded than that? One may think, you know, can someone be more narrow-minded than this? And the six Goswamis are supposed to be Dhira, Adhira, Janapriyav, Priyakarav. And here is Raghunath Das Goswami who is refusing to drink from a drone. That is from a gopi's village, you know, Chandravali is a gopi. So the point is, when it comes to Siddhanta, సిద్ధాంతస్తు అభేదేపి శ్రీశకృష్ణ స్వరూపయోః రసేన ఉత్కృష్యతే కృష్ణ రూపం ఏషా రసస్థితి రూప గోస్వామి రైట్స్ అండ్ భక్తి రసామృత సింధు దట్ వెన్ యూ కన్సిడర్ సిద్ధాంత దెర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ లక్ష్మీనారాయణ అండ్ రాధాకృష్ణ బట్ రసేన ఉత్కృష్యతే కృష్ణ రూపం బట్ వెన్ యూ కన్సిడర్ రసస్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ డైవర్సిటీ దెర్ ఇస్ నో యూనిటీ దేర్ సిద్ధాంత బ్రింగ్స్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ You know, rasa, you know, creates tremendous amount of diversity. So, at beyond a particular level, you know, we have to We have to accept the diversity. You can't just deny it. There is no diversity. All Vaishnava sampradayas are bona fide. Correct. All Vaishnava sampradayas are bona fide. But having said that, our mood can be nourished only by the particular teachings of a particular sampradaya. They have different moods. We have to accept it. And whatever mood we may want to cultivate, that is where we should seek siksha from. So siksha should nourish our prayojan. Our prayojan cannot be Radha Krishna, and we cannot be taking siksha from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They are bona fide. So your siksha and the prayojan, there should be a match. Just like Lenovo laptop is bona fide, Lenovo charger is bona fide. This is what? Asus laptop is bona fide. Asus charger is bona fide. I can't use Asus charger to charge my Lenovo laptop. Even though it's a bona fide charger, bona fide laptop. There must be compatibility. Similarly, there should be compatibility between siksha and prayojan. So where you are getting your siksha from, that's the prayojan you should be ideally aspiring for, like that.
Like we discussed here about Gaudiya literatures and adhikar to read. When we have the basic books given by acharya, we have Jain Dharma and initial chapter definition, and then we have Bhakti Aloka. So generally we say that we should study the Prabhupada books first, make our foundation.
Yeah.
And then we should study that. So there are some acharya books which are high level books, and there are some basic books.
Basic books are there.
So is there any gradation like that, that we can study along with reading Prabhupada books?
I mean, I don't know. At least first few years we should read the books given by Prabhupada to understand very clearly. Then subsequently, the other acharya's books as translated by bona fide disciples of Prabhupada, over a period of time, I think, for additional nourishment we can read. Not books like Ujjwal Neelamani and things like that. But Bhakti Aloka and all, it's like talking about Nectar of Instruction only. It's a commentary on Nectar of Instruction. Madhurya Kadambini, even though sounds esoteric, is actually an absolutely basic book. So those books are I personally, from my discussions, this is what I feel. It's rather reinforces the faith in the process, reinforces many of the points that Prabhupada, it adds lot of credibility and validity to many points that Prabhupada makes actually. Like for example, the Jiva fall down issue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a similar answer like Prabhupada gives. He says that you go back and you find out. Because with your current situation, with your current level of devotional development, you will not be able to understand this subject matter. He says the only solution is, because this has to be explained on the level of spiritual time, and because you don't have an experience of spiritual time, the answer will not fit your logic, because you think in terms of material time. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this whole topic. So therefore, it reinforces many of your at least in my case, I have seen many of the points that Prabhupada gives, it gives lot of clarity and credibility to why Prabhupada writes the way he writes. So that way, but at least first few years, definitely we should spend time scrutinizingly studying Prabhupada's books. Then one can slowly, like till Bhakti Shastri, I read NOD, and little bit of Waves of Devotion I referred to for my Bhakti Shastri. And Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita full. And I took some help from Surrender On To Me by Burijan Prabhu. Nectar of Instruction I read Ishopanishad. But subsequently, few years down the line, Then for I started reading Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Devbhushan's commentary because I had already read 2-3 times Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. NOD I started referring to Banaswamy's translation of Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Like that. So once you have, at least once or twice you have thoroughly studied, then you can refer to other commentaries. Prabhupada also sort of encouraged in many places in Bhagavatam, he encouraged it would be very fruitful for the sincere students of Bhagavatam to refer to the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, like that he says.
We may know that the Madhurya Rasa that Gaudiya Parampara is offering is the highest, but still we may not have either great appreciation for it, and we may feel the reverential worship of Lakshmana and that may be more easily accessible and understandable and ourselves.
Yeah.
So in that sense,
So Vaidhi Sadhana, for that also Vaidhi Sadhana is given for practitioners. Our parampara is giving.
Vaidhi Sadhana, we are not able to. You said our clarity of the goal should be clear, and our abhideya also will be. In that sense, our.
See, when we stick to what our acharyas have given, slowly and systematically we come to 10th canto and Chaitanya Charitamrita and all that. Automatically our prayojan imperceptibly, like like from yesterday compared to yesterday to today, you have grown old, but it is imperceptible to you. Compared to 1 year back, you have grown old, that is also imperceptible to you, but when your parents meet you or when your brother meets you, अरे बड़ा हो गया, मोटा हो गया, पतला हो गया, वॉट एवर, यू नो ही माइट से, यू माइट वंडर दैट आई लुक द सेम एवरी डे. सो लाइक दैट दीज टेस्ट डेवलप इम्परसेप्टिबली, स्लोली स्लोली, बिकॉज द आचार्यस हैव अ कॉमन गोल विच इज चैतन्य महाप्रभुज गोल. अनर्पित चरिम चिरात करुणयावतीर्ण कलौ समर्पयितुम उन्नत उज्ज्वल रसाम स्वभक्तिश्रियम. He has come to give that which has never been given before. All acharyas share it. So when you read systematically, come to 10th canto, read Krishna's pastimes, read Krishna book, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, imperceptibly, little by little, over a period of time you will develop that taste for worshipping Radha and Krishna. Because that's how they have written this book. Just like you may not know how paracetamol is working in your, but paracetamol has been created to produce a particular effect in your body. Similarly, these books have been written by the Gaudiya Acharyas to create a particular effect in your consciousness. And that change is bound to happen, it will happen. You may not realize how it is happening, or you may not even realize whether it is happening, but you will know. Now you go to Vrindavan, then after a few years you go to Vrindavan, you will see some change in consciousness. You will be approaching the Dham with much more eagerness, affection. And over a period of time you will see Vrindavan definitely holds a special place in your heart compared to the other Dhams. This will imperceptibly happen. I know. Yes, he had stay back, but he was given permission to come and take association of Maharaj and Jeevi whenever he is there. Mayapur. Yeah. So, like that. This is not last question, but still you can ask. No problem.
Our Gaudiya Vishnu was giving the literatures for a particular prayojana. So when we have, as in earlier few years, we have Gaudiya Vishnu outside ISKCON also.
Yeah.
And what kind of mood we should carry for referring or not referring to their commentaries?
See, Prabhupada has carried forward a particular mood, and we can be sure that his disciples who may translate Gaudiya literatures will generally carry the mood of Prabhupada. So even though for their own translations they may refer to some Gaudiya Math translations, to like for example Banuswami Maharaj, for his translations he refers to Gaudiya Math translations of that same work. But definitely, you know, certain things which may not be you know, very much acceptable to Prabhupada's mood, he may actually refer to the original Sanskrit, and you know, he may translate it in such a way that it is agreeable and acceptable. So generally what I follow is, I as far as possible I see if there is an ISKCON translation of that book, then I read. Translated by Banuswami Maharaj or someone like that, then I read. And there are unlimited. Banu Maharaj has translated practically everything.
Now he is translating
Upanishad. So practically everything he has translated. I mean, you can't imagine the speed at which he translates. If at 1/10 that speed, even if he can read, that would be great actually. So practically he has translated so many things. So, I mean, for me that is sufficient.
In ISKCON only, there is maybe another translation done by another devotee.
Yeah, I don't see that kind of a difference, I don't know.
I don't have experience, I'm asking.
I am not that educated to find that kind of difference. But at least I play it safe there. Anyone in ISKCON, any which BBT has authorized, that is good enough for me. I'm not so educated that I can go inside and find out, okay, here. I mean, if it is Banu Maharaj, I have no doubt, you know, I can trust. Any other devotee within ISKCON also, if not all books BBT may be able to publish, but generally BBT gives some authorization. So like when Bhumipati Prabhu or someone, when they translate, so either Satswarup Maharaj or someone writes a foreword that is well translated, because he would be representing BBT like that. So that is sufficient for me. So that much at least, why unnecessarily get into it? Because here we know those are Prabhupada's disciples, they are translating. I am okay with that.
And what about the God Professor Prabhupada? Devotees, they have referred to some of the God brothers. So,
see, Prabhupada's God brothers, mostly they have written in Sanskrit or Bengali. So, if any ISKCON devotee translates, and if BBT agrees, then we can. Otherwise, whatever has already been translated is, you know, it's so much there. Why unnecessarily? Okay. So Prabhupada writes here, Swadhyaya means reading the authorized Vedic scriptures. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read the standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources, namely saintly persons, standard scriptures, and spiritual master. Guru Sadhu Shastra, like that. Later Prabhupada ends this purport by mentioning, practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. So this is about Yama and Niyama. So just give me a minute, I'll just use the washroom.
Katharuni Swami Maharaj and their disciples. Maharaj has recommended in Hindi which book to refer, or whose book of which was written by previous Acharya Jiva Swami. So because the Sanskrit to Hindi way it is translated, that is very bona fide. Because there are also Gaudiya Vaishnava coming in line. There are also Vaishnava also. And over and above there are also scholars. Their translations are often Hindi. So the Sanskrit in Hindi translation is very authentic. It is done by Vaishnava scholar, Gaudiya Vaishnava scholar. Now,
Hare Krishna. Yama means don'ts, niyama means do's. So whatever is mentioned as you should do, it is niyama. Whatever is mentioned in terms of what you should not, that is yama. Niyama means, niyam means rules. And yama, I don't know. I don't know. It's prohibition, but I don't know. For that one should know Sanskrit. I don't know much Sanskrit. Maunam sadasana jaya stairyam pranajaya shanaihi pratyaharas chendriyanam vishayan manasahridi. One should observe silence. So this is till maunam is the yama and niyama. Then he says, sthairyam sadasana jayaha. One should develop a fair bit of steadiness by mastering the proper asanas, postures. And steadiness of mind also comes through pranajaya. One should control the breath, pranayama. So asana and pranayama is mentioned. Shanaihi, and gradually, pratyaharascha indriyanam. One should also start withdrawing the senses from material objects, vishayan, to the heart, using the mind, which is pratyahara. So here, asana, pranayama and pratyahara are mentioned in this verse. So, eight angas. Can you recollect the eight angas in order? Pratyahar, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Okay, this is the in order.
This is for our
abhideya. Yeah, this is not our abhideya. We told this is for Ashtanga yogis. It's not for our practice. Yeah, this is for Ashtanga yogis. Nay, for maintaining health one can do yoga exercise. That's not a problem. Before japa. See, just because someone may do something, that does not mean it becomes a limb of devotional service. Some people put earplugs during japa. Does it become the 65th limb of devotional service? Not necessarily. So, for what purpose one does, that must be very clear.
Whatever helps.
I mean, it's not like you practice some yoga, that does not make you into a yogi. A yogi has a very clear abhideya, a very clear sambandha jnana, and a very clear... So, these terminologies are not used very loosely. They are pretty... So if someone, to maintain one's health, If one does some amount of yoga, that does not make one into an Ashtanga yogi. Maharaj does some yoga, is he an Ashtanga yogi? That's.
What is the meaning of concentrating mind in heart?
Huh? One should gradually, one should withdraw the senses from material objects and focus them in the heart. Which means the senses should start engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord within the heart. Super soul, in that sense.
Will it be correct to say that like pratyahara they have given, it is one of the aspects of Ashtanga Yogi? Which if
a
sadhaka practices, it will be helpful for him to go in
bhakti. Yeah, see, but the mood should be very important. Because of the 64 limbs, he also says, Bhogadityaga Krishnasya Hetave. One of the limbs. One should give up the material enjoyment with a desire to please Krishna. Then it's okay. But otherwise, to think that I have to separately practice detachment that will enhance my bhakti, that is improper understanding.
Brother, detachment should be used to grow bhakti.
Yeah, if I could use this time to serve Krishna, I could use this effort to serve Krishna. So that should be the mood. Bhogadityaga Krishnasya Hetave. So how do you know if our practice of renunciation is in line with bhakti or away from bhakti? Two things we have to look out for. First thing is, we will not become more judgmental about others who are not practicing it. If it is Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Janam Gyanam Chayada Haitukam. If it is Vairagya born out of Bhakti, which is favorable to Bhakti, then we will never judge others. And second thing, if you are able to do it nicely, we will not become proud. So this I have seen in Prem Gaurang Prabhu. You might know, some of you might know Prem Gaurang Prabhu. You know Prabhuji. So he is, the kind of detachment that he has, very solid detachment. Like he travels all around, taking, many different yogis and westerners to different places. But he absolutely does not eat any non-prasadam. He might be traveling for 2-3 days, where there is no prasadam available, he will survive on fruits. But he will never eat non-prasadam anywhere. And this is just one of the things that I am telling, the many, many other things. The kind of solid renunciation. But you can see it is born out of bhakti. Because when someone else who is traveling with him is not able to live up to that standards, he is as if he has not even noticed it. And he will deal with you in a very normal way, as if nothing has happened. No judgmentalism, and he will never ever make it known that he is practicing so much austerity. It is as if nothing has happened. So these are like symptoms when someone is practicing the, whether he is practicing the right kind of renunciation or not. Lack of judgmentalism when others are not able to do, and lack of pride when one himself is able to do. He would never advertise what he is doing like that. So then he says, Swadeshnyanam ekadeshe manasa prana dharanam vaikunta leela vidyanam samadhanam tatatmanah. Prana dharanam ekadeshe swadeshnyanam. One should fix the prana at one spot amongst the various chakras. This is another understanding of dharana. So he should fix the prana at one spot amongst the various chakras. There are six chakras: Muladhara chakra, Manipuraka chakra, Swadhisthana chakra, Anahata chakra, Ajna chakra, and Vishuddhi chakra, like that. One should fix the prana at one spot amongst the various chakras by the mind. So this is dharanam, dharana. The word prana dharanam is also used here. And then Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. This is a limb of Ashtanga Yoga. One should meditate on the pastimes in the spiritual world. Vaikuntha Leela. Yeah, purpose is different. So that's why this is the limb of bhakti. See, you will time and again see some limbs of devotional service. Samadhanam tatatmanah. Then one should attain samadhi of the mind. So the word dhyana is indicated by Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam here. So the first two lines describe the dharana, third line talks about dhyana, and the last line talks about samadhi. Here Srila Prabhupada writes, I will read, you tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. There are six circles of vital air circulation within the body. Ekadeshe. The first circle is within the belly, that is Muladhara. The second is in the area of the heart, Manipuraka. The third is in the area of the lungs, fourth is in the area of the palate, fifth is between the eyebrows, and the highest, the sixth, is above the brain. So Prabhupada has, this is the Brahmarandra, Sahasraraka Chakra. Yeah. One has to fix his mind on the circulation of the vital air and thus think of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. It is never mentioned that one should concentrate on the impersonal or void. It is clearly stated Vaikuntha Leela. Leela means pastimes. Unless the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead has transcendental activities, where is the scope of thinking of these pastimes? Later Prabhupada says, Samadhi is not an artificial bodily state. It is the state achieved when the mind is virtually absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of God. He's talking about Samadhanam Tatatmanaha, like that.
Their goal is impersonal liberation.
Yeah. The goal is impersonal liberation. The means is meditation on the Vaikuntha Leela, but the goal is impersonal liberation. Both. They meditate on the personal form of the Lord also, and they meditate on the Paramatma also. Both are part of their practice. Not just the Paramatma. On the pastimes, Vaikuntha Leela means, here he says, one should meditate on the pastimes in the spiritual world, he says. Yes. They meditate both on the Bhagavan aspect and the Paramatma aspect, both.
But they
will not realize the Bhagavan aspect.
They will realize Paramatma.
Like for example, we accept the Bhagavan aspect, we worship the Bhagavan aspect, but we have also not realized the Bhagavan aspect, right? We will realize the Bhagavan aspect only at the stage of Bhava and Prema. They will never reach the stage of Bhava and Prema, but they will accept the Bhagavan, worship the Bhagavan, but attain only realization of the Paramatma aspect of the Lord.
They don't accept the Bhagavan
teacher
to be Bhagavan.
No, they do accept. If they don't accept, then they will not attain anything. Because of lack of experience. They have not experienced the association of devotees who could have given them that higher taste for going back home, back to Godhead. It's not knowledge, it's faith, experience. Which one? I do not know. But I can't say that it does not exist anywhere, because I have not seen the whole world. It may be somewhere, it may exist, it may not exist also. I don't know. Jnana yogis also have meditation, deity worship, meditation, like last chapter we saw. They accept the personal form of the Lord, they worship the personal form of the Lord. Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat sangam yudasya ubayatontaratmanah vindantihi brahmagatim gataklamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah. You remember?
Second canto,
fourth chapter.
Prayers.
Prayers by Shukadeva Goswami. He says, Vichakshana means Jnana Yogis. Yat Charana Upasadhanat. By worshipping whose lotus feet? He says. Sangam Vyudasya. They give up attachment to this material world. Ubayato. To this world where they are living and the promises of Swarga. Ubayataha. Antaratma. Within their heart they give up attachment for both. But Vindantihi Brahmagatim. They attain their destination of Brahman Gataklama very easily without any problems. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namah. Like that Shukadeva Goswami offers his prayers. So the Jnana Yogis also worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. They accept the personal form of the Lord. Many times we have discussed this before. They can't reject the personal form. They have to worship the personal form. They may aspire to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Like that. If they don't, that is Mayavad.
Sometimes, is there a possibility that they are attracted to the person and they leave the yoga and
Many times. Yeah. Prayena munayo rajan nivritta vidishedataha nairgunyasta ramantesma gunanukatane hare. Many, many people. Atma ramascha munayo nirgranda api urukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhakti mittam bhuta guno hari. Sankshobha akshara jusham api chitta tanvo. Like that, many places it is mentioned that many, many people give up their process and accept the personal form. How do we know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, there was Atma Tattva Prabhu. He was Atmananda Swami before. He was a Mayavadi sannyasi actually. Then he became Atma Tattva Das. Accepted Diksha from Srila Prabhupada. Etair anyaischa patibir mano dushtam asatpatam buddhya yunjita shanakair jita prano hyatandritaha. So then he says, Etair anyaischa patibir. Sometimes you could replace some limbs of Ashtanga Yoga through other practices also. Anyaischa patibir means, he says, something like charity, vows, like that. Also engaging in other methods with the intelligence, jita prana, having controlled the pranas, atandritaha, with the attention, shanakair yunjita mano dushtam, one gradually engages the wicked mind, asatpatam, which may otherwise lead to material life, in meditation. Like that. So which means, if the mind is contaminated, then one should try to control it by proper pranayam and use one's intelligence to bring it back. As they say, manasa buddhi sarati. Buddhi acts as the sarati, as the assistant of mind, like that. Srila Prabhupada comments here, etair anyaischa. The general yoga process entails observing the rules and regulations, yama niyama, practicing different sitting postures, asana, concentrating the mind on the vital circulation of the air, which is, yes, directly gone to dharana. In between there is pranayama and pratyahara also. And then thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Vaikuntha pastime, that is dhyana. This is the general process of yoga. This same concentration can be achieved by other recommended processes, and therefore anyaischa, other methods also can be applied. The essential point is that the mind which is contaminated by material attraction has to be bridled. Bridled means what?
Tamed.
Tamed. controlled, unbridled means untamed or uncontrolled, like that. Has to be bridled and concentrated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like that. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya vijitasana asanam tasmin swasti samasina rujukaya samabhyaset. Is again, even though he has very quickly described the eight limbs, he's again clarifying on a few more limbs. For example, he is talking about asana. He says, vijitasana, mastering the asanas. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya, he should establish his seat in a clean place. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram asana masana nati uchritam nati nicham chailajana kushottaram, like Bhagavad Gita it says. And sitting in swastikasan, tasmin swasti sama, you know what is swastikasan? Something like, I think something like Padmasan only, I think. And Rujukayaha, keeping the body straight. Samubhyaset, he should practice controlling the breath. So Prabhupada writes, sitting in an easy posture is called Swasti Samasina. It is recommended in the yoga scripture that one should put the soles of the feet between the two thighs and ankles. Oh, and sit straight. Almost Padmasana only. Yeah. That posture will help one to concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. Pranasya shodayen margam pura kumbhaka rechakaihi pratikolena vachittam yathastiram achanchalam. It talks about little more about pranayama. He says, pranasya margam shodayet. One should purify the passage of prana. Is it nadis? Yeah. So, how do you do that? Puraka, kumbhaka and rechaka. Puraka means inhale. Rechaka means exhale. Kumbhaka means holding. Puraka, kumbhaka and rechaka. Pratikulenava means you inhale from the left nostril, exhale from the right. Now you inhale from the right nostril and exhale from the left, like that. Anulom and vilom. Anulom vilom. Yata stiram achanchalam, so that the unsteady mind becomes steady, like that. So the prana has direct connection with the mind. Pranavayu, when it is steady, it controls the mind. Of course, as Prabhupada says, this is the mechanical way of controlling the mind. So, and the apanavayu controls the pranavayu. So, indirectly, therefore, apanavayu also controls the mind. So, therefore, if one is defecation system is not properly functioning, it directly affects the mind actually. If one is constantly constipated, it's not able to. So that disturbs the apanavayu. So apanavayu affects the pranavayu. So then pranavayu directly affects the mind. Like that.
But some of these aspects are also important in
Important in to maintain one's body so that one can practice devotional service nicely. So taking care of one's body is part of devotional service only.
But these aspects are not taught, actually, at least in this.
See, it need not be taught as a it can be taught also how to take care of one's body so that it can be utilized in Krishna's service. Like
how to eat, how to sleep, how to take care of body. These are the basic things.
The basic things, yeah. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj keeps asking his brahmacharis. He was sharing me, Hari Gaurang bro. He asked him, Are you doing yoga? He said, yes, Maharaj. What type of yoga you do? And then he said these things. And then Maharaj said, you do it and show me what you do. And he said, I just honored Prasad Maharaj, I can't do it now. He said, okay, okay. So, so like that. You know, these are, yeah, these are things maybe in Kali Yuga, you know, even some basic things need to be taught. Some basic ways of maintaining your good health, like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the breathing exercises are performed to control the mind and fix it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor, the devotee Ambarish Maharaj fixes mind on the lotus feet of Krishna 24 hours a day. The process of Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and hear the sound attentively so that the mind is fixed upon the transcendental vibration of Krishna's name, which is non-different from Krishna, the personality. The real purpose of controlling the mind by the prescribed method of clearing the passage of the life air is achieved immediately if one fixes his mind directly on the lotus feet of Krishna. The Hatha Yoga system or the breathing system is especially recommended for those who are very absorbed in the concept of bodily existence. But one who can perform the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna can fix the mind more easily. It's just a question of faith. Where you have your faith.
When we say this, is it not that we have the stomach clear, then our concentration comes nice, better? Because what I feel here is faith is there.
Yeah.
But being,
just
like you say, we are not the body, we are in the body. So,
certainly, we have not developed that level of absorption that when the body is sick, also we can concentrate on the holy name. Definitely, that takes a good amount of our concentration away from the holy name towards our body. So understanding that in this conditioned state I may not be able to, if my body is not functioning properly, it will take my concentration away from the holy name. So let me try to maintain my body so that I can, so that my concentration, more of my focus I can focus towards the holy name. With that understanding one has to take care of the body. Active prayer means?
Because I want to take care of the body in this way.
Hmm.
So, if the stomach is clear,
oh.
Is it the
No, I don't think so. This, or rather, we can say that Krishna, please let me have good concentration in my chanting.
Suppose if you desire, let me have a good health, or let me have a better skill of singing or something like that. Then we are preparing another body. So that
Better would be, Krishna, please let me chant your holy names nicely. If Krishna wants to facilitate it, he may facilitate it by making you remain constipated, but he may give you concentration, or he may allow you to, you know, have a very free stomach and concentrate. So let Krishna decide how he wants to give you concentration. So better than praying for that, better we can pray for Krishna, let me chant your holy names with good concentration, like that we can pray. Later Prabhupada writes, practicing the yoga system of exercise and breath control is very difficult for a person in this age. And therefore Lord Chaitanya recommended Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Krishna and the Supreme Person Krishna are non-different. Therefore, if one concentrates his mind on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, the same result is achieved. See, actually this is important, that one should one should try to perform devotional service with proper sambandha gyan. One should not just like that practice, because then it becomes the source of Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the main cause of offenses is devotional practices without proper sambandha gyan. When the sambandha gyan is very clearly fixed in the heart, then one's offensive nature also gets subdued, he writes. And he says, for that one has to understand the proper sambandha gyan, and for that to get fixed in the heart, he says that one should serve the Vaishnavas and Guru. As Vidura tells Maitreya, Arthabhavam Vinishchitya Pratitasyapi Chatmani. What is the next line? Arthabhavam Vinishchitya Pratitasyapi Chatmani. Tam chapi yushmat charana sevaya aham paranudhi. Like that he says. He says that, my dear Maitreya, I have understood all your teachings. But I have understood only the theory of it. But I know the means of realizing it, which is yushmat charana sevaya. I can cross over this lack of realization by serving your lotus feet, which means realization comes through service. But what you will realize depends on what is your knowledge. So we have to have the right knowledge in order to have the right realization. So you should learn the proper sambandha gyan and through service try to realize it. Like that.
Correct.
Yeah, when we say service, it means with the proper attitude only, not grudging service. Then that is not service. Huh? Yeah, like these are things, these are details which can be worked out with the authorities. Manochirat syad virajam jitashvasasya yoginah vayvagnibhyam yata loham matam tyajati vaimalam. Very soon the mind of the yogi who controls his breath will become pure. When he is practicing proper yama niyama asana pranayama pratyahara, yata dhmatam loham tyajati vai malam vayu agnibhyam. Just as heated gold gives up impurities by air and fire. Traditional, they used to have something called zone refining for gold. Generally, gold has such a high melting point that the boiling point of the impurities is less than the melting point of gold. So they heat it and slowly the impurities get evaporated. And like that they move the heater. You know. Yeah, some arc. In some electric heater. They call it zone refining. So slowly they keep on like that. Vayu agnibhyam yatad matam loham tyajati vai malam. Like that. Just as heated gold gives up impurities by air and fire. Like that. So Prabhupada writes that one can purify the mind either by the breathing process or by the chanting process. Just as one can purify gold by putting it in fire and fanning it with the bellows. Cheto darpana marjanam. Not get like, one can achieve some level of steadiness of mind. Not much, because it has to be supported not just by pranayama. It has to be supported by prior practice of Yama Niyama, and even before that, of course, a part of Yama Niyama is practicing Swadharma Acharanam Shaktya. By practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, slowly the, you know, to a large extent that purification happens. And some amount of purification also happens he gains some kind of focus to meditate on the Paramatma by the process of pranayam, like that. So, in the next verse, he says, what happens? What is accomplished by these various limbs? So he says, pranayamairda hedoshan dharanabhischa kilbishan pratyaharena samsargan dhyane nanishwaran gunan. Pranayamairda hedoshan, by controlling the breath, one burns up the faults in the doshas of the body. So by pranayama, the tridosha, in kapha, vata, pitta, it gets sort of nullified. Dharana abhischa kilbishan, by the process of dharana, one destroys sins. Pratyaharena samsargan, by pratyahara, one destroys association with sense objects, because we are literally removing the senses from the sense objects. Dhyanena anishwaran gunan, and by meditation one destroys uncontrollable qualities such as attraction and repulsion, like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, here it is recommended that by practicing the breathing process of pranayama, one can be released from the contamination created by the principal physiological elements by concentrating, which is kapha, vata and pitta, principal physiological elements according to Ayurveda. By concentrating the mind, one can become free from sinful activities, and by withdrawing the senses, one can free himself from material association, like that. Then, later Prabhupada writes, for every item in the yoga system, there is a parallel activity in bhakti yoga. But the practice of bhakti yoga is easier for this age. What was introduced by Lord Chaitanya is not a new interpretation. Bhakti yoga is a feasible process that begins with chanting and hearing. Bhakti yoga and other yogas have their ultimate goal, the same personality of Godhead, from Krishna's point of view, not necessarily from the practitioner's point of view. But one is practical and the others are difficult. From one point of view, but from the Ashtanga Yogi's point of view, he will find Bhakti Yoga difficult because of lack of faith. Like that. But from an objective point of view, if you see the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga are very difficult to practice. From an absolutely objective point of view. Like for example, Bhagavat Shravan Prabhu's mother might be from more kind than my mother. But I may still have attachment to my mother only, because of my experience and faith. Like that. So from an objective point of view, if a neutral person, if Satyamurti Prabhu observes both the mothers, he may say, oh, Bhagavat Shravan Prabhu's mother is more kind. But when I observe, because I already have lot of favorable experiences from my mother, I may not necessarily agree. So a yogi will not agree, because his faith is there in yoga. But this point that Prabhupada is mentioning is from an objective point of view. If a neutral person observes, who neither has affiliation to yoga nor has affiliation to bhakti, this is his conclusion. The limbs are easier to perform when it comes to. Yeah, yeah. Not impossible for that person to reach his goal. It's difficult. Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, why would Krishna speak about it in Bhagavad Gita? If it is a non-workable thing. Just that it is difficult to practice and perfect it in Kali Yuga. but it is still not impossible. Because an impossible limb would not be given, because practically Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita almost when Kali Yuga was starting. Kali Yuga was almost going to start. So therefore it's not an impossible process, but it's very difficult. Simple. For one who has faith in Bhakti Yoga. One has to purify his physiological condition by concentration and restraint of the senses. Then he can fix his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is called Samadhi. But all of this is for the Ashtanga Yogi. Yeah.
By meditation, we also do dhyana.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing even with dharana, sense of meditation.
Yeah.
Pratyahara, that
naturally invisible. Yeah, by engaging our senses in Krishna's service.
But first one, Praji, that is not a bodily level.
Hmm.
That
doshas also need to be.
So, you may practice pranayama to destroy the faults of the doshas.
That is a separate, that is not a part of. So, Bhakti process is completely transcendental.
Yeah.
The yoga, all other parts, they have something
on a bodily level. Yeah, yeah. Huh?
That is transcendental.
We are body are not
limited. Yeah, we are not it. So we have to take care of our body. Yada manasvam virajam yogena susamahitam. Kashtam Bhagavato Dhyayet Swanasakravalokanaha. When the mind becomes purified and steady by Yama and other Angas, looking at the tip of the nose, one should then meditate on the form of the Lord. So, this is Dhyana, Dharana Dhyana. So, here, now he is going to describe about, so what is that form of the Lord? He is going to describe Dharanashtaya of a yogi. Prasannavadanambojam padmagarbharunekshanam neelotpaladalashyamam shankachakragadadaram. One should meditate on the form of the Lord with joyful lotus face. Look, the Lord has joyful lotus face. We need not meditate. We should also be joyful, but this is mentioning about the Lord. Prasanna Vadanam Bojam. Padma Garba Aruna Ikshanam, who has reddish lotus eyes. Neela Utpala Dalashyamam, who has complexion like a blue lotus. Shankha Chakra Gadadaram, and holding Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma. Padma is not mentioned, but one should understand. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur writes here, meditation on the Lord, which is the third Anga of Bhakti, Smaranam, becomes the seventh process of Ashtanga Yoga. Dhyana. But in Yoga, this is performed for attaining liberation. But in Bhakti, it is performed for attaining a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Bhagavad Gita states that meditation on the impersonal or void features is very troublesome to the meditator. Those who are attached to the impersonal or void features of meditation have to undergo a difficult process because we are not accustomed to concentrating our minds upon anything impersonal. Actually, such concentration is not even possible. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that one should concentrate his mind on the personality of Godhead. Where? That is one. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajina mam namaskuru. Many other places. Huh? Mayeva manadatsva may buddhim niveshe. Huh? Yeah, yeah.
This impersonal meditation, that is also one of my Prabhupada's
Prabhupada says it's not even possible.
It's not even possible. Bhagavad Gita states that meditation and impersonal void are troublesome to the meditator. It means it is one of five, but troublesome.
Yeah, but such a person should also have some aspect, may also have to worship some aspect of the Supreme Lord also. If that has no element of acceptance of a personal form of the Lord, then that system will not give any result.
If anything is impersonal worship, it includes the personal form also.
Some aspect of meditating on the impersonal aspect may be there, but as another limb, it would also include worshipping the personal form of the Lord. Like for example, the Ashtanga Yogi is performing Yamaniyama Asana also. At the same time, he is doing Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam also. So these are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Like that. He says, a Jnana Yogi very easily attains impersonal liberation by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, like that he says. Vindanti higlam brahma sukam brahma gatim gatak klamas tasmai suvadra shravase namo namah, like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, in Vedas there is the Jnanakanda which is mentioned, but has
personal form of worship.
So then there may be during various times there might have been some Jnanakanda without the bhakti nature.
But it is not mentioned in the literatures. It is due to perverted understanding of the literatures. But the literatures themselves do not recommend any Jnanakanda without personal worship.
So Arjuna is asking Krishna, so he is referring to non-Vedic.
Some aspects, some limbs of jnana may also involve some kind of meditation on the impersonal aspect also. But that does not mean that is the only thing that they do. Echapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittama. Arjuna asks. What is the beginning of that verse? Yeah, that is the next second line. First line is what? Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate yechapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittama. Yeah. So a part of jnana may also involve some kind of impersonal meditation also. But that does not mean that they may have to reject the personal form of the Lord. In another limb, they may worship the personal form of the Lord also.
There it is not like you focus on only one limb.
That is why so many limbs are mentioned. Na, in Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, so many limbs are mentioned.
Everything has to be.
Yeah. And even that Yama Niyama has so many other limbs. Like that. Okay, then Prabhupada writes, people always ask why Krishna is blue. The color of the Lord has not been imagined by any artist. It is described in authoritative scripture. In the Brahma Samhita also, the color of Krishna's body is compared to that of a bluish cloud. The color of the Lord is not poetical imagination. There are authoritative descriptions in the Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and many of the Puranas of the Lord's body, his weapons and all other paraphernalia, like that. Lasat pankaja kinjalka pitakosheya vasasam shrivatsavaksha sambrajat kaustuvamukta kandaram. Lasat pankaja kinjalka pitakosheya vasasam. He wears silk cloth, the color of glowing lotus pollen. Shrivatsavakshasam. He has Shrivatsa mark on his chest. Bhrajat Kaustubha Amukta Kandaram. And he has brilliant Kaustubha Mani on his neck. Mattadvirepa Kalaya Paritam Vanamalaya పరార్ధ్యహార వళయ కిరీతాంగద నూపురం పరీతం వనమాలయ. హీ వేర్స్ అ గార్లెండ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ యునో ఫారెస్ట్ ఫ్లవర్స్. మత్త ద్విరేప కలయ, ద్విరేప ఇస్ బీస్, మత్త మీన్స్ ఇంటాక్సికేటెడ్ బీస్ ఆర్ యునో దే ఆర్ సరౌండింగ్ దట్ గార్లెండ్, విచ్ ఇండికేట్స్ దట్ ది గార్లెండ్ డస్ నాట్ ఫేడ్, ఇట్స్ ఆల్వేస్ ఫ్రెష్. అదర్వైజ్ ఇన్ అ ఫేడెడ్ గార్లెండ్ యూ వాంట్ హ్యావ్ బీస్. ఇట్ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ సమ్ డ్రిప్పింగ్ నెక్టర్ ఆల్సో మేబీ. పరార్ధ్య హార వళయ కిరీట అంగద నూపురం అండ్ హీ వేర్స్ ప్రైస్లెస్ నెక్లెసెస్ బ్రేస్లెట్స్ క్రౌన్ ఆర్మ్ బ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ యాంక్లెట్స్ లైక్ దట్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ రైట్ చేరింద పర్పోర్ట్, ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్ దట్ ద ఫ్లవర్ గార్లెండ్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇస్ ఫ్రెష్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ వైకుంఠ ఆర్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ స్కై దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ బట్ ఫ్రెష్నెస్. ఈవెన్ ద ఫ్లవర్స్ పిక్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ట్రీస్ అండ్ ప్లాంట్స్ రిమైన్ ఫ్రెష్, ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ స్కై రిటైన్స్ ఇట్స్ ఒరిజినాలిటీ అండ్ డస్ నాట్ ఫేడ్. లేటర్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ టేకన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ రిమైన్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణ ఆర్ యాజ్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ స్టేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్ 1 - 1 = 1 అండ్ 1 + 1 = 1. The bees hum around the fresh flowers and their sweet sound is enjoyed by the Lord. Like that. Kanchigunolla satshronim hridayambhoja vishtaram darshaniyatamam shantam manonayana vardhanam.
Similar verses. Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
Narayana is telling to
Dhruva Maharaj. వర్ధనం, యా హిస్ ఇస్ కరెక్ట్. యా హిస్ హిప్స్ షోన్ విత్ ది కార్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బెల్ట్ హీ సిట్స్ ఇన్ ది లోటస్ హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద డివోటీస్ హీ ఈస్ మోస్ట్ అట్రాక్టివ్ టు సీ హీస్ పీస్ఫుల్ అండ్ హీ ఇన్క్రీసెస్ ద జాయ్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ ద ఐ మనోనయన వర్ధనం. Yeah, something like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word darshaniyatamam, which is used in this verse, means that the Lord is so beautiful that the devotee yogi does not wish to see anything else. His desire to see beautiful objects is completely satisfied by the sight of the Lord. We see in the story of Dhanurdas, told the same thing. Yeah. So he was so much attracted to that lady's eyes, and Ramanujacharya said, what if I show you something more beautiful than them? And he said, will you give this up? He said, yes, but I don't honestly believe that there could be anything more beautiful than this. He said, okay, come with me. So he took him to the sanctum sanctorum of Lord Ranganath and he played to Lord Ranganath, don't show that form which a normal person would see. Please show that form which a pure devotee sees in you. And then he told Dhanurdas, look at his eyes. And Lord Ranganath showed that vision. He got totally captivated. And then rest of the story, you know, like that. అపీచ్య దర్శనం శశ్వత్ సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం సంతం వయసి కైశోరే భృత్యానుగ్రహ కాతరం. అపీచ్య దర్శనం, హీస్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్. సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం అండ్ ఈజ్ వర్షిప్ బై ఎవ్రీ వన్. సంతం కైశోరే వయసి సంతం, శశ్వత్ కైశోరే వయసి సంతం, హీస్ ఎటర్నలీ 15 years old. భృత్య అనుగ్రహ కాతరం అండ్ ఈజ్ వెరీ ఈగర్ టు సర్వ్ his servants, bless his servants, anugraha. Like that the form of the Lord was mentioned. So here it is mentioned, the Lord's facial expression always indicates that he is ready to show favor and benediction to the devotees. Where is it mentioned? Vritya anugraha kataram. But for the non-devotees, however, he is silent. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, although he acts equally to everyone, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because all living entities are his sons, he is especially inclined to those engaged in devotional service. Samoham sarvade bhuteshu namedveshyosti napriya yevajanti tumam bhaktya mahideteshu chapriham. The same fact is confirmed here. He is always anxious to show favor to the devotees. Just as the devotees are always eager to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is also very eager to bestow benediction upon the pure devotees. So this is just a reciprocal. They are very eager to serve him and receive his mercy. So he is very eager to serve them and show his mercy. Kirtanya tirta yashasam punya shloka yashaskaram dhyaye devam samagrangam yavannachyavate manaha. Dhyaye devam samagra angam. One should meditate on this form of the Lord with all his limbs. So this indicates dharana. So, meditation on the whole form of the Lord. Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam, who is worthy of glorification. Punya Shloka Yashaskaram, who increases the fame of his devotees. Yavanna Chavate Manaha, unless the mind, until the mind does not deviate, when it has developed a fair amount of concentration on the general form of the Lord, till then he has to meditate only on the general form. And when he has developed that fairly good concentration, then he can move ahead and start meditating on the individual limbs of the Lord, which is dhyana. Yogis, they don't have... Yeah, generally, alone is mentioned. That they... Yeah, it's not generally not so much of association is mentioned for Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis. Vivikta Desha Sevitvam is mentioned. Not so much of, like we have some Kirtan, they don't have some Dhyanam or some Dharana like that. It's all individual. Yeah, I don't remember reading anywhere.
One day they may do all the inspiration.
Yeah, it's very difficult to imagine. But it's a fact that there are actually practitioners who did perform or who are still proudly performing Ashtanga Yoga and still perfecting it also. But it is much difficult, very difficult, as Prabhupada says. Arjuna agrees. Krishna agrees actually. Asamshayam Mahabaho, he says. Mano Durnigraham Chalam. He agrees. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the devotees especially see the Lord in his beautiful blackish form of Shyam Sundar. Yam Shyam Sundara Machintya Gunaswarupam. That is the perfection of yoga. This yoga system should be continued until the mind does not vacillate for a moment. What is Prabhupada talking about? Here, based on this verse. Yavan Nachavate Manaha. Om Tadvishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. The form of Vishnu is the highest individuality and is always visible to sages and saintly persons. Okay. Then he says, the same purpose is served when a devotee worships the form of the Lord in the temple. There is no difference between devotional service in the temple and meditation on the form of the Lord, since the form of the Lord is the same whether he appears within the mind or in some concrete element. Later Prabhupada says, it is not that one who meditates on the form within the mind sees differently from one who worships the form in the temple. Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute, and there is therefore no difference between the two. Later Prabhupada says, another significant word in this verse is Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. Even though he is describing Ashtanga Yoga, he is addressing the Lord as Punya Shloka Yashaskaram, one who makes his devotees more famous. Like that. So the devotee is called Punya Shloka. As one becomes purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord, so one can become purified simply by chanting the name of a holy devotee. The pure devotee of the Lord and the Lord himself are non-different. It is sometimes feasible to chant the name of a holy devotee. This is a very sanctified process. Lord Chaitanya was once chanting the holy names of the gopis, and when his students criticized him, "Why are you chanting the name of the gopis? Why not Krishna?" Lord Chaitanya was irritated by the criticism, and so there was some misunderstanding between him and his students. He wanted to chastise them for desiring to instruct him on the transcendental process of chanting. Later Prabhupada ends this purport by mentioning, anyone who is eternally associated with the Lord is glorified with the Lord. The conclusion is that a perfect yogi should always be accustomed to seeing the form of the Lord, and unless the mind is fixed in that way, he should continue practicing yoga. So Prabhupada says here, anyone who is eternally associated with the Lord is always glorified with the Lord. So all we need to do is somehow stay connected with the Lord. And the only means of staying connected with the Lord is to stay connected with his devotees. And then our progress is guaranteed. Alone, not possible. Very difficult. In the association of devotees, becomes easy. Like that. Then he is now going to talk about, now dharana is over, dhyana is going to start. Stitam rajantam asinam shayanam vaguha shayam prekshaniye hitam dhyayet shuddha bhavena chetasa. Shuddha bhavena chetasa, with one's heart filled with pure emotion, dhyayet, one should meditate, guhashayam, on the Lord living in the spiritual world. Guhashayam could mean the heart. Here guhashayam, he says spiritual world, which is not really wrong, because he had already mentioned Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. Dhyanam was described as Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. So how should he meditate? Stitam, Vrajantam, Asinam, Shayanam. As he stands, walks, sits or sleeps, Prekshaniya Ihitam, or when he performs pastimes which are worthy of seeing. Like that. So, like Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the process of meditating on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within oneself and the process of chanting the glories and pastimes of the Lord are the same. The only difference is that hearing and fixing the mind on the pastimes of the Lord is easier than visualizing the form of the Lord within one's heart, because as soon as one begins to think of the Lord, especially in this age, the mind becomes disturbed. And due to so much agitation, the process of seeing the Lord within the mind is interrupted. When there is sound vibrated praising the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, however, one is forced to hear. That process enters into the mind, and practice of yoga is automatically performed. Like that. Later Prabhupada says, so he says, for example, even a child can hear and derive the benefit of meditating on the pastimes of the Lord simply by listening to a reading from the Bhagavatam that describes the Lord as he is going to the pasturing ground with his cows and friends. Hearing includes applying the mind. So therefore, like this morning also we were discussing, conditioning is not a disqualification for engaging in devotional service. Rather, the for a devotee, the means of removing that conditioning is devotional service only. The problem is with faith. So we have to enhance our faith in devotional service, not rather try to replace it with some other process. Because for a devotee, the deconditioning, the means of deconditioning is devotional service only. Cheto darpana marjanam, anartha nivritti, kleshagni, all these are for devotees only. Klesha means what? Huh? Suffering. And Rupa Goswami explains suffering means what? Prarabdha, aprarabdha, two forms of suffering and three causes of suffering. He says avidya, bijam and papam. Avidya means ignorance, means past impressions, material impressions. Why is it called avidya? Because it reinforces wrong knowledge. The Shastras say, oh, living entity cannot enjoy matter. But your past impression says, really? Are you sure? What? You really didn't enjoy that rasgulla? You ate? Come on, you know, get real. So it reinforces wrong knowledge. That's why it's called avidya. Past impressions. Avidya leads to sinful desires, bijam. Sinful desires lead to sinful act. So all of that is destroyed by practice of devotional service. So to say that one is extremely conditioned, therefore he is not qualified to practice pure devotional service, is not the right understanding. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. In that commentary, Srila Vishnachakya Thakur writes, who is durachari? He explains durachari. He says, he may be addicted to violence, addicted to thievery and addicted to adultery. He says, matlab kuch choda nahi, sab kuch a gaya usme. Thievery, adultery and violence. Apichet suduracharo. He says, who is a durachari? But still he says, bhajate mam ananya bhak. So he explains ananya bhak means what? He worships me and me alone, and with a desire, with no other desire other than the desire to please me. So which means, and using no other process other than the process of pure devotional service. So therefore, nowhere in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that conditioning is a disqualification for, severe conditioning is a disqualification for practicing pure devotional service. Rather, everywhere it is mentioned that the most severest forms of conditionings can be removed easily by practice of pure devotional service. But rather, lack of pure devotional faith, that can be a reason why one might need some other process, some other support. But conditioning is never a, is mentioned to be a disqualification. Rather, as this morning we were discussing, he says, jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarva karmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage api anishwara. He says, Krishna says, tato bhajeta mam prita. Don't get disappointed, continue worshipping me. Shraddhalur, you know, steady your faith. Don't start doubting the process. The process is working. Dhrida Nishchaya, you just become little more determined in practicing. Jushamanascha tankaman dukkodar kamscha garhayan. And whenever you stray away, you fall trapped to sense gratification, be repentant. But don't get so repentant that you give up devotional service only. See, repentance should be there, but at the same time, it should enhance our faith in the process. It should, the repentance should not be at the cause of trust in the process. Like that.
Conditioning is not a disqualification, but is it not that it affects the practice of bhakti?
It does. So in what context I am mentioning this, that you should try to understand. The context is in the context of our discussion in the morning, that some people who have severe conditionings, they may not be qualified to practice devotional service. So in that context I am mentioning, conditioning is not a disqualification to practice devotional service. Rather, practice of devotional service sincerely is what can address those conditionings. But having said that, I am not indicating that it is alright if you are conditioned. One should endeavor to sincerely practice devotional service and try to remove the conditioning. And at the same time, one should be very careful not to put oneself in such a situation where the conditioning would be triggered unnecessarily, reinforced. That one has to try.
More baggage, one has less.
Yeah.
That is one aspect. So, does it mean that the more baggage person will progress slowly?
Yeah. It does. Because if both are practicing with the same amount of sincerity, definitely the one with less baggage, he will have an Arthanavritti first.
Also, it depends on faith.
I am telling with if all the other conditions are same. If his faith is same, sincerity is same, everything is same, same association, then then kleshagni will happen faster for the one with less baggage, because he has less baggage. Like that. We cannot understand. You can understand how much faith you have. Why do we have to understand others' faith? Your faith, you know. I mean,
there is gradation.
Yeah, but the definitions are given na, in Bhaktira Samana Sindhu. Yeah. Based on that, you can understand whether our faith is Kanishta, Madhyama, or Uttama. You can understand.
Can there be a person having a lot of Atma? But at the same
time,
lot of bhakti credits,
but
at the same time having
more
conditions.
Yeah, quite possible.
Yeah, example is of
Vilamavaram.
But
how can
it be there, means what? Lot of bhakti elements, bhakti service is being done, but still conditioning is.
Okay, we will, because you asked this question, we will spend a few minutes discussing this. Agyat Sukriti. We will read from Madhurya Kadambini.
Agyat Sukriti, that's why you learn purify. Intensity of the bhakti is not depend upon the conditioning, but it's choice of that living entity.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But conditioning also to some extent affects the intensity. To some extent. But it can be offset by one's sincerity. Yeah.
There should be various factors. Adhikar of the guru, adhikar of the person, when there is a what? It is all factors should be there in the faith.
Yeah, yeah. They all contribute to the faith. Yes. Okay. So now, so anartha nivritti, it is mentioned that first he says, what are anarthas? So this is the third chapter which is discussing about anartha nivritti. He says, anarthas, he says, means unwanted desires. Then he says, unwanted desires can be born out of four reasons. Okay. First is sukrutotta, dushkrutotta, aparadotta and bhaktiotta anarthas. So you can have dushkrutotta anarthas, means if you have had a sinful past, those impressions get carried over and they become obstacles. Sometimes if you have had a pious past also, some of the pious things may be obstacles to devotional service also. Sukrutotta, like I gave the example of my mother, right? So she was so, you know, averse to eating anyone's juta that she could not accept Vaishnavas, great Vaishnavas, Mahamaha also, like that. Then you may have bhaktiyotta anarthas. Bhaktiyotta anarthas means anarthas which may be born out of properly practicing bhakti. So when you properly practice bhakti, then what follows? Pujala pratishta follows. If you get attracted to it, that becomes an anartha. This is tarangarangini, that is the sixth stage. Then there is aparadotta anarthas, some unfavorable desires may manifest out of practicing, out of aparad also. Like sometimes you might have thought that, arey, 10 saal pehle se iske prati aasakti to chut gaya mera. 10 years back I lost attachment to this anartha, suddenly it is manifesting. This last 10 years, I never even thought about it, but now I am succumbing to it. Where is it coming from? Good possibility that it is probably coming from aparat. Okay, so he says here that there are five grades of anarthana vritti. Ekadesha vartini, bahudesha vartini, prayiki, purna and atyantiki. So ekadesha vartini means one anartha gets destroyed. Bahudesha vartini means many anarthas may get destroyed. Prayiki means almost all can get destroyed. And purna means everything gets destroyed. And atyantiki means destroyed to such a level that it cannot return back. So now all these anarthas put together, at what stage of bhakti how much gets destroyed, he writes here. Okay. He says, and then he talks about individual. He says, thus immediately after starting performance of devotional activities, which means as soon as bhajana kriya starts, there is nullification, but it is limited. You can say like ekadesha vartini or bahudesha vartini at the most. In other words, when we hear that the town has burned, we can imagine that some of it must be existing. So when we say anartha nivritti, it does not mean that after anartha nivritti there is no anartha. It is like prayiki, almost gone. Nashta prayesho badresh. But continued practice with the appearance of nishta. Okay. At the stage of nishta, it is bahudesha vartini. Okay. With the appearance of rati or bhava, it is prayiki, almost. With the appearance of prema, it is purna. And with the attainment of Lord's association, it is atyantiki. No chance of coming back. Thus, if one thinks that the following occasional episodes demonstrate anarthas arising even after attaining the lotus feet of the Lord, by one's intelligence, he should throw out that thought from his mind. Which episode can you think? Bharat Maharaj. Any other episode you can think? Parikshit Maharaj. Any other episode? Chitraketu Maharaj. And four Kumaras also. Sorry, Jay and Vijay. Yeah. Attaining association. Attaining the lotus feet means becoming an, yeah. So Chitraketu Maharaj became in the abode. Chitraketu Maharaj had personal darshan of Sankarshan. And after that he offended Lord Shiva. So one should understand, impossible. Not at all possible. So in the case of Chitraketus, who had already attained the lotus feet of the Lord, his accidental maha aparat to Shiva was apparent, not real. For there was no ill effect from his mistake. So you may say, but he fell down, became Vritrasur. But as a Vritrasur, his prema was more. So it is not considered as fall down. Similarly, it is described about Bharat Maharaj also. In the case of Bharat Maharaj, it was plan of the Lord. He used Bharat Maharaj for a particular purpose. Even in the, at the stage of bhava, the kind of attachment that Bharat Maharaj developed, it is not possible. We will see that now. So, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, in the episode of Priyavrat Maharaj, when he is describing about that, Shri Vishnu Jagadagur in his purport mentions that there are two kinds of obstacles. One is obstacles due to one's own aparadha and other things. The second obstacle is directly put by the Supreme Lord in the life of a perfected devotee in order to enact some pastime or to teach some lessons. So in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj, even though he was perfectly set, Brahmaji came and said, you get married. And the Lord also said, yes, yes, get married. In the case of Bharat Maharaj, yes, Jahau Yuvaiva Malavad Uttama Shloka Lalasa, it is mentioned. So he gave up all his wealth and queens and kingdom and everything, just like one would give up stool. Why such a nasty comparison? The Acharyas explained. Because stool is such a thing that if you don't give it up, you are in misery. If you give up, you are completely relieved and happy. And after giving up, you don't look back to see it. So that was the kind of renunciation that Bharat Maharaj had with all these other things. So in his case, he was purposefully put in that such a situation just to teach common people that be careful about what you get attached to. But Bharat Maharaj himself did not fall in that category. Anyway, both as an associate of the Lord and assuming the form of a demon, Vritrasur, his wealth of prema was still evident. Vritrasur's prayers are still glorified. Samacharyas write that those four prayers offered by Vritrasur is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is like one another kind of Chatushloki. The cause of apparent offense of Jaya and Vijaya was a manifestation of their personal desire stimulated by prema. So he is quoting from some other literature where Jaya and Vijaya prayed like this to Lord Narayan. They said, "Oh Prabhu, O Lord of Lords, O Narayan, you desire to fight, but we do not see a suitable opponent for you. In this material world, everyone is inimical towards you. But they don't have any power to fight with you." It is like Muhammad Ali trying to have a fight with Bhagavat Sharan Rao. You're quite powerful. So, or say Apurva Prabhu. So, I mean, he will win, but he won't be happy, you know, because you need a good opponent, good combat. And then when you win, it is like very, Yeah, at least Hari Gauram Prabhu. So he says that in the material world everyone is inimical, but they don't have any power. But in the spiritual world, you share your power, sarshti, your opulences with everyone. And we see that your desire for viriyaras is not fulfilled, even though you are Atmaram. So we desire, my dear Lord, for some time give up your bhakta vatsalya and make us inimical towards you and let us fight with you. You fight with us and you be satisfied with your desire for viriyaras being satisfied. Like that they offer prayers. So he says that somehow or other make us inimical to you and realize your desire to fight. We being your faithful servants cannot tolerate to see any lack whatever in your perfection. Diminish your quality of affection for your devotees and fulfill our prayer. Like that they request. Then the small episode was enacted. So now carefully listen. This is very important. The eradication of the anarthas arising from previous sin, which is Dushkrutota and also Sukrutota, also falls in this category because both are in the form of impressions. With the bhajana kriya, when one starts practicing devotional service, the eradication is almost complete. Prayiki. So if our bhajana kriya is reasonably good, powerful, we will be almost free of all past troubles due to past bad habits. With the appearance of nishta, the eradication is complete. Which means at the stage of nishta, you cannot be troubled by your past, your sinful past or pious past. It is not possible. Complete. And with the appearance of asakti, it is absolute. Absolute means it cannot return back at all. It's very clear. Earlier was all offenses put together. Now he is category wise discussing. Dushkrutota and Sukrutota. He is discussing others also next. So Dushkrutota, Sukrutota. So if we little bit endeavor, somehow push and come to the stage of nishta, can you imagine we will not be troubled by our sinful past at all?
Rather than allowing the anartha with a favorable atmosphere to grow,
yeah,
let it starve
it and push till you reach the stage of nishta. Then it is, can you believe that you will not at all be troubled by our sinful past? How? This is Madhurya Kadambini, third chapter. Don't introduce Namabhas, that's a different discussion altogether. We will come there, that's a different thing. There are many different kinds of Namabhas and many different meanings to Namabhas. So bhaktiyotta anarthas, the eradication of anarthas arising from bhakti is as follows. Which means, at what stage we can overcome pujala pratishta? He says, with the appearance of bhajana kriya, the eradication is limited. With the appearance of nishta, it is complete. Which means, when we reach nishta, we will no longer be troubled by pujala pratishta. Which means if we are affected by it, we have not yet reached nishta. That is the last stage of anishtita bhajan. Tarangarangini. And with the appearance of ruchi, it is absolute. Which means when one reaches ruchi, he can no longer come back to be troubled by. But the sense of aparad that extends till prema. At prema it is purna, and with the association of the Lord it becomes atyantiki, absolute, completely gone. Like that it is described. So all we need to do is two things. Endeavor very sincerely, nicely in the association of devotees. Push each other, encourage each other, and somehow together reach the stage of nishta. And avoid offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, very quickly you will reach prema in this lifetime. So, there should be a collective effort. And collective effort is possible here. Where people have come together with a common mission to perfect devotional service and achieve Krishna's lotus feet in this lifetime. So, the only challenge here is we may be living with devotees, but we can't live with devotees as individuals. We have to live with devotees as a cohesive unit. If not, at least with few devotees, we must have solid, good relationship, loving relationship. When it is there, then, you know, there is a, when loving relationship is there, the advantage is there is a sense of common struggle. In your house, if you become sick, the mother suffers more, the father suffers more, your siblings suffer more, and you don't feel like you are suffering alone. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj in one of his essays, he writes that I used to eagerly look forward to falling sick. Why? Because on those days, his mother would put leave from her work and she used to stay with him and throughout the day spend time with him, pamper him. Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru. So this is realizable even in material life. Kunti Maharani did not give a very lofty principle in one sense. It is realizable even in material life. Rayasham Prabhu once shared this story in relationship to this verse. Once there was a orphan who was playing with his friends and he hurt his leg. So he got admitted in a hospital where that nurse gave him lot of maternal affection to the extent that he didn't want to get discharged from the hospital. Because he had never seen mother's love. After he got discharged unwillingly, he wanted to hurt his other feet also so that he can again get admitted and receive that mother's love from that nurse. So, Kunti Maharani could pray because she had received Krishna's love. So in that sense, struggle is enjoyable. Otherwise, but struggling alone, we may live with devotees, but we may be struggling alone. Then struggle becomes very difficult to tolerate, even little bit of struggle. But if we have affectionate relationships, then together we can cross mountains. It is possible. So therefore, somehow if we can endeavor to develop that kind of relationships with devotees with whom we are living, then the struggles become adventures actually. Okay, what is the next adventure? Together. Like there is a difference between some of us who may not have developed a very good relationship with devotees. We might, if we fall sick, then we will start thinking about home. Oh, how nice of at home my mother would, you know, make special soups for me, you know, kada for me and things like that. So rather we should invest and try to develop it here. And when that is there, then struggle becomes easy. Like that. Yeah, that's what we discussed now. Na? Like at what stage what anartha gets destroyed? Vilomangal Thakur could when that episode was happening, he eventually perfected his life. But when that episode was happening, he must have been in one of these stages. Quite possible. Or he was being used by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to teach a lesson for others. We do not know the details. But the point is, the science is described here. At what stage, what goes away? At what stage the Dushkrutottan Arthas, how much do they go? At what stage the Bhaktiottan Arthas, how much do they go? All that is very clearly mentioned. So, in Bhaktivinoda, in Bilvamangal Thakur's case, we do not know exactly unless Samacharya has explained. Sometimes due to aparad also it may, you know, certain unwanted desires may come. So that is a whole different episode. So we do not exactly know. So we cannot comment like that. Okay, one last verse we will complete and then we will end our discussion here and then we will convene back after half an hour after prasadam. We have a very short break for prasadam. So quickly honor your prasadam and come back. Tasmin labda padam chittam sarva vayava samsthitam vilakshayikatra samyujyat ange bhagavato munihi. The sage, having concentrated his mind on seeing the Lord with all his limbs, should concentrate on one limb of the Lord. This is dhyana. So after perfecting dharana, he should come to the stage of dhyana. This is what we saw in the then individual limbs. The second canto we saw. Ekaika shongani dhyanu bhavayet padadi yavad hasitam gadabratah jitam jitam sthanam apohya dharayet param param shuddhiti dhiryatayata. One should firmly meditate with intelligence on each limb, one after the other, starting from the feet up to the smiling face of the Lord. Like that. Okay, so we'll pause here. It's 5:05. So please convene back at 5:35. Okay, and then we'll go on till you all came 20 minutes late. Huh? Oh, Bhagavachran Prabhu has ordered me to go on till 8:30. Okay, at least till you come at 5:35, then we will decide till when we will go. Yeah, depends on what time you come. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. And it is Satyamurthy Prabhu's and Bhagavachran Prabhu's responsibility. Because of them, the whole schedule changed. So it is their responsibility to get all of them back.